Well, we finally caught John Podaiti in the United States, and we're going to get an update on a little bit of the situation in India, just kind of getting a feel for the reality of things. If you just look at the headlines, you get this sense, and we want to find out if that's actually true or not, and then how we can be praying for the body of Christ in India. John, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
Great to connect with you, Ruth, here today.
Well, let me ask you something. You know, as we have been looking at the headlines, the stories that have been coming up recently have been about very violent attacks against Christians, mostly in northern India. Is that actually the situation? Is it getting worse for believers in northern India, or is this something that you're seeing everywhere else? And does that have anything to do with the latest situation, the latest things that are coming out from the Modi government?
Yes, unfortunately, Ruth, it is true. Things are getting much more difficult for Christians in India and Christian ministries and churches. We've seen an increase of reportedly 400% in acts of violence and other incidents against Christians and against churches in this last year, year over year. And we kind of anticipated this when the Modi government was coming back into power, when they were voted back in and declared in late May earlier this year. And it certainly has come true that they just feel like they've got the backing of the government. And so the activists, the religious fanatics, have just felt like they've got the mandate and they know that they aren't going to be arrested, or perhaps if they do get arrested, that they, you know, will get off very lightly. And, you know, they won't face any difficulties because of it. And so we're seeing a lot of oppression, persecution against the Christians in India these days.
What is likely to change the scenario for them as things continue to unravel?
Well, we really need to see the body of Christ pulling together in India, and this also from support from the international community. We hope that even the U.S. government may get involved, as now India has moved up to into the top 10 of the places with the most religious persecution, where religious freedoms are being challenged. And this is quite a move up from, you know, that we've seen in these last 5-6 years.
Given how entrenched the government seems to be at this point, what could happen to change that?
Well, I know that from the government side, they're taking actions. It's been reported a number of things for nonprofits that are operating in India, both national nonprofits as well as international nonprofits. There's a tightening of reporting requirements. There's a number of affidavits that they need to file with the government as they file their annual and quarterly reports. And one of these is that all the officers and directors of a nonprofit in India have to file that they have not been prosecuted or convicted of any religious conversion situation. And so this is something that's going to have a very strong effect as it goes through across the nation. Of course, there's a number of organizations that have people on their staff that have been prosecuted or convicted of religious conversion, and so those organizations are going to be singled out immediately for further investigation. And it certainly puts everybody in a position where they're really watching what they do carefully. You know, I've also heard that foreign visitors to nonprofits or ministries or churches in India are being asked to sign that they will not engage in any religious conversion activities while in India, as they visit a nonprofit. And of course, this often, very rarely is the case. Most of the visitors there are going for training, teaching, encouragement, prayer, that sort of ministry with Christians, those who are Christians already. Very few are engaged in the actual evangelizing process because of the language and cultural and all the other difficulties that they would face while they're over there. The role of the visitor, Western visitor, you might have it, is best in teaching and training and encouragement.
So given some of the stories that we have seen with the persecution intensifying in northern India, is it likelihood that that's going to bleed over?
Yes, we're seeing things happening also above the border in Nepal. And recently a Korean national who was there doing business's mission was arrested for some type of conversion charges. And one of our missionaries who's there in Nepal had been staying on top of that as it was happening in his district. And so was with him, visiting him all through his incarceration. And there as he got bailed out, and we had seen some other arrests that were even more high profile that included one of our partners has been involved in a lot of scripture distribution in Nepal, and he was held over an entire weekend before he was able to be bailed out. And his team included a number of Nepalis as well as Indians and an American. And so that situation got a lot of publicity. And we just know that Nepal is also going to follow India's lead. And India can put a lot of pressure on Nepal because, you know, Nepal is a landlocked country. Everything in that country comes in or through or from India. And so if India wanted to close the borders, as they have done even a few years ago, they could pretty much starve that country out within a matter of months, literally. And so Nepal is going to be following India's lead and India's prodding or direction on this, I'm sure, in the days and years to come. And so, I mention all this as I prepare for a trip over to that part of the world. We'll be leaving fairly shortly here. And I just want to ask our listeners for prayer for our teams. They'll be visiting and they'll be interacting with some of our Christians in Nepal and also in India. And just pray that we may be a blessing and encouragement and edifying to those that we come into contact with as we're moving around there.
Okay. Anything else? Any specific ways that people can be engaging or praying?
Well, for the Christians in India, I know that, you know, they're scrambling fervently to catch up with this situation. The Indian government, as I understand, has about 200 people working on these types of measures directed against Christians. They talk about it as an anti-conversion, but it's really directed against Christians, not against some of the other religions that are existing in India. And so just need to pray for and give support to the Indian Christians and the legal team that's coming together around these issues and trying to address these, trying to be prepared for something that we've heard is happening, that there's a preparation of a nationwide anti-conversion bill that this government is rushing to get framed and put before the parliament. And we're expecting this could happen in the next 3 to 6, perhaps 9 months. And they are talking that they've got a team of lawyers working on drafting this, and it's they want it to be watertight in terms of, as opposed to the legislation that we know exists in 7 or 8 states of India already. And so we just need to pray that the Christian Legal Society there in India will be preparing for this and be ready to defend the religious freedom of the Indian people. that they may follow the faith of their choosing. Of course, we hope that they will follow Christ.